actually found in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 28. And I just wanted to perhaps introduce the importance of these thoughts. You know, I don't know if you've found this in your life, but when you go through difficult experiences, it changes the communication you have with your friends and family, doesn't it? Sometimes we're all very good at doing the, how you doing, John? Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, good, great, good to see you. Something difficult comes along, and suddenly the level of reality and the level of conversation with your friends and family changes. You know, we had this experience recently, and particularly in Jen's family, it's been quite a difficult few weeks with various people passing away. And usually the messages on our family WhatsApp groups focus around me and my other brother-in-law essentially taking the mickey out of my parents-in-law, which is, it's not a wise thing to do, I know. But it's nevertheless, it's fun, because Jen's mum cannot take a picture to save her life. And we take great delight in reminding her of this every time she sends us a picture, because you can't work out whether it's Sunday lunch or whether it's a picture of them on holiday. It could be anything. But, you know, it's very interesting. The last few weeks, we go through a difficult time, and the text messages focus around thanking each other for their love and care. It's different, isn't it? Difficult times change our communication. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the verses we're going to read, just before those verses, the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's been buried. And then at the start of Matthew chapter 28, there's a violent earthquake that reveals an amazing fact that's this. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He's not there, he's risen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in the verses we're going to consider, or just a couple of verses, these are some of the first things that the Lord Jesus Christ says after he's been put to death, buried, and risen from the dead. And these are some of the first things he says to his followers. So with that simple story I've said, and we know from our lives, perhaps we can consider how important these things were to the Lord Jesus. He knew he had the full attention of his disciples, because none of us here have ever spoken to someone who's risen from the dead. None of us have ever had that opportunity of having someone come into our house, into our home. You could say to me, well, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a lovely thing, but physically speaking, none of us have had the experience of someone that's risen from the dead coming into our home. But imagine if we did. Imagine the things. We wouldn't talk about how the weather was, would we? There'd be a lot more important things on our mind, and these are the things that Jesus wanted to share with his followers. So Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, and it says this, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, when I was thinking about this subject of baptism, I was thinking, well, what can I say new about baptism? Okay, because I guess most people have heard about baptism, and I could explain that when we come to the Bible, we're talking about baptism of those that have believed, but we'll see that. And you know, one thing that I really thought to myself was about this idea of commands. That's your subject. You know, we're often told to do something, aren't we, in life? If you're young, it feels like you're always being told to do something. You're being told to do something much more often than you should be. Eliot has a golden rule that if he's been told to do more than two things, his brain forgets those things. He can handle one command at a time, and even that's borderline unreasonable. But, you know, we're often told to do things by people or signs. But when we receive a command, there was three things I thought about. When we receive a command, we think about the requester. Who is it that's asking us to do that thing? The relevance of it. Does it actually apply to me? And actually, what would be the result if I did or didn't do that thing? And you know, sometimes we decide not to follow what we're commanded to do. And I'd suggest to you, it's normally because we doubt one of those things. Here's an example, okay? If that phone was up here in the hall, who thinks they'd follow it? I guess a lot of you wouldn't, okay? You could say I'm just as guilty, but my only plea would be I've got my Bible on mine, okay? The fact I was looking at eBay doesn't matter. But I've got a Bible on it, so that's okay. You see, if we saw a sign saying no cell phones, there'd be all kinds of things that we would think, well, actually, we doubt one of those things. Well, actually, what does it matter? What would be the result if I did use it? It's not that important, surely. And we'd maybe think about the relevance. We'd maybe think, well, it's not relevant for me because it's highly important that my friends can share their latest holiday pictures with me right now. So it can't apply to me. And you might say, well, the requester, that sign looks a bit old. I expect the person that put it up is probably not even in this church anymore. So does it really matter? So maybe we doubt those things. No running. Again, you might say, well, if it's anything like my family, you'd be highly glad. They'd be very pleased to follow that sign. But sometimes you might think, well, but let's think about one more serious. Here's a sign from outside Buckingham Palace, and it says, you're not to cross this line, Stuart probably knows it better than me, under section 128 of the Serious Organised Crime and Police Act. Oh, I think I'll probably follow that one. Why? Because actually that sign tells me that I'm specifically commanded not to do that by Her Majesty the Queen. Well, okay, the requester's got a bit of a CV behind her. I think I'd probably follow that one. Plus, I'm also slightly worried what would happen if I didn't. So here's another example. No diving or jumping from the pier. Do not feed the alligators. Okay? Again, I'm probably going to follow that. Why? Because I'm worried about what the result of me not following it would be. These are silly examples. But we're going to think about a very simple command, be baptized. Not difficult. And any of us that are disciples need to follow that command. So the question is, if I'm not going to follow that command, it really means that I doubt one of these things. It's quite a serious thing, you know. I either doubt the requester. Is it really something? Is he really someone that is worth me following, that is worth me displaying to everyone that I'm giving my life to? Does it really apply to me? And actually, is it that important if I don't do it? So these are three things I just want us to think about. And first of all, the requester. Well, you know, before telling the disciples to baptize, Jesus makes sure they understand who he is. Now, if you or I were to say this, it would be an incredibly proud thing, not to mention the fact it would be completely untrue. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he never demonstrated pride in his life. But there were occasions, and this is one of them, where he used the opportunity to direct people to who he was, not so that they might think he was great, but so that they might follow the word of God, and by doing that, bring glory to God. And so before the Lord Jesus Christ gave this command, he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. If you had all authority in heaven and earth, what would be the first thing you'd ask someone to do? Interesting question. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority on heaven and earth, and the first things he said was make disciples and baptize. He's got all authority in heaven and earth, and that's the second thing that he says. Pretty important then, isn't it? So the one that's requesting us, the one that's commanding us to be baptized, is the one that has all authority in heaven and on earth. But he also says that he's equal with the Father. And we find this in John chapter 3 and verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, he's not claiming this out of pride. God the Father, who knows absolutely everything about his lovely Son, has given him all authority. So this is the one that you and I can absolutely trust. If God trusts his Son, if God, who knows all the detail about his Son, trusts him to give him all authority, then I should too, shouldn't I? I should trust him to give him all authority of my life. But you know, Jesus would also show the importance of baptism by doing it himself. You know, it's always it's always a great example. You know, if we command someone to do something and we're not prepared to do it ourselves, it's a bit of a strange thing, isn't it? And again, the example in our house is always the migration of washing to a washing basket. I don't know if you suffer this in your house. It's an amazing thing, you know. I just leave it where I get undressed, and somehow it makes its way into a process. I have no idea how that happens. But when I ask my children to place their washing in the washing basket, the first thing they say is, "But Dad, you don't do it." And that is a very good point. I'd love to be able to argue, but I sadly can't. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he not only commanded us to be baptized, but he did it himself. And people were confused by that. Because you see, John had been preaching a baptism of repentance. In other words, showing that you're sorry to God for what you've done by being baptized. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to be baptized, both John and his disciples said, "Well, this isn't something you need to do. There's nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ needed to repent for." But he wanted to do it to demonstrate that importance. And it says here, when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." So the Lord Jesus Christ was also baptized himself as a demonstration to us of the importance. And his Father, again, showed us the delight he has in his Son by opening heaven and speaking directly from heaven. So that's the requester. That's who's telling us to be baptized. The one who has all authority, the one who's been given all authority, and the one who was prepared to be baptized himself. But what's the relevance? You know, the first step we read was for people to become baptized. Only then could for them to become disciples. Only then could they be baptized. And in the early church, that's exactly what happened. You can read that in the early church, they followed exactly the command of the Lord Jesus. And you can see there in Acts 2, it says, "Those that received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So I've just noticed one American spelling of baptized slipped in there. I'm sorry about that. I did do my best. You notice what happened there was the people followed the word that was being preached. And the word that was being preached was this: you need to be saved from this world. You need to be saved out of this world. And it says, first of all, the people received that. They were saved. And then they could go on and be baptized. And in Acts 18, many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. You know, there's a direct link between those two things. They believed and they were baptized. You know, when I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I was obedient to him because he commands us in his word to believe. He commands us to repent, to turn away from our life without him and turn to him. He commands us to do that. And when I did that, I was obedient to him. But you see, no one else could see that. And when I was baptized, I was also obedient to him. And by doing that, I could show those people around me that actually I'd taken that step of following, of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the order of this is really important. You know, and I don't know your history, and I wouldn't want to offend anyone, but when you come to the Bible, the reason why it's so important that people believe first and are baptized is this: because baptism is a really important sign. It's not just an act of being anointed with water. It speaks of something really important. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You see, baptism isn't just a ceremony. It isn't just something that we do because it's nice to get the family together or whatever other good reasons there might be for people being baptized. Baptism is a really important symbol, because it shows that I'm identifying with my Lord. And just as he died for me, for my sins, and he was buried, because that's the price that sin demanded, the payment for sin is death. He died and was buried. And then the Father brought him back to life again, and he then carried on living and is still alive today. So baptism shows that I've identified with my Lord, that actually my old life, living without God for myself, is dead. And actually what I want to do now is live a new life instead for the Lord, following his commands and living for him. So it's vitally important that we understand the relevance of baptism. It's a sign that shows we've identified with the one who loved us, who died for us, who was buried, and who rose. But there's an expectation, you know, when we become Christians, that we live a new life, that we live a life that's different to the world around us. So baptism is relevant for us, but, you know, that step of baptism is only for you if you've already believed. That's the first step you need to make, believe, and then to be baptized. And you can see that, hopefully, from some of those scriptures there. But what's the result? Well, when Jesus laid out these commands to his disciples, the result of baptism was this, really, that it would be clear that people had followed his command. If you read in Matthew 28, where we read at the start, you see this, that the idea of being baptized in that first instance was simply this, that people might be able to look at John Sims being baptized and say, actually, I don't know much about John, but what I do know is this, is he read about the Lord Jesus Christ commanding him to be baptized, and he's doing it. And I can see by that that here's somebody that follows what the Lord Jesus Christ says. So that's the first result of being baptized, is that people can see that I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that I take seriously his commands, and I want to follow him in my life. But you know, when Jesus speaks in another passage, he makes it clear that baptism should always follow salvation. And he says there, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And it's really important with that verse. Some people misunderstand it, but you notice this, it's the one who does not believe that's not condemned. That verse doesn't say the one who's not baptized will be condemned. It's really important. Don't misunderstand it, but also, don't underestimate the importance of that verse. The Lord Jesus Christ says himself that we should believe and be baptized. He doesn't separate them. They're absolutely one thing. And so the result of being baptized is this, that first of all, people can see we've followed his command, and secondly, people can see we've been saved. And lastly, the result should be fast. I've put the picture up the top there of the Ethiopian eunuch, and that man was traveling along the road, and he realized from the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that had given himself to die for him, and he said, what stops me from being baptized? As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? That's an interesting question, you know. A lot of people ask, should I be baptized, or why should I be baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch said, what's stopping me? It's a different question, isn't it? And so we don't need anything, you know. We don't need to be in a special place. We don't need to wait for a special time. If we've believed, we should be baptized. That the result should be fast. It should be something that's visible in our lives quite quickly. So lastly, Jesus gave a clear command to his disciples to baptize. And it was many times in the Bible you'll find that same thing. And so when you think about it, just think for yourself. I don't know all of you. I don't know if you're a believer. I don't know if you've been baptized. But what I would say to you is, if you are a believer and you haven't yet been baptized, just challenge yourself. Because think about the request there. Do you believe the credentials? Do you believe who he is? The Bible says he has authority over everything, and he says, if you love me, keep my commands. So it's really important that we do what he commands. The relevance. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? If not, baptism isn't for you yet. But if so, you need first of all to take that first step of repentance. And if you are a believer and you're not yet baptized, why not? Because it is relevant for you. It's a command that's for you, and it was a command that was for me. And, you know, perhaps just as important, if we are baptized, are we living in newness of life? You know, sadly, I know of several friends that I went to their baptism, and as far as I know, they've never been back to a church since, and I can't see any evidence in their life that they want to go on following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a really sad thing, because for those of us that are baptized, and I say this to myself as well, there should be evidence in my life that I'm living in newness of life. I'm living a life that's different and living a life that's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And often, that's not true in my experience. So there's a real challenge for those of us that are baptized. That baptism was a sign that we're now living a new life. And is that evidence still visible in my life today? Last of all, the results. You know, what will you do with the command of Jesus? He gave his disciples a command, and it was a command that was reiterated many times in the scriptures. If you're a believer, he commands you, he commands me to be baptized. So the question is now, what's the result? What's the result of hearing that command? It's a vital step to show we love the requester. We're a disciple who follows the words of Jesus, and we're happy for the world to judge us against a new standard. So a command to be baptized. And maybe you could just think about those three things: the requester, the relevance, and the results in our lives. Let's just take time to pray. Father, we are so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us these clear things that we should do. Many people perhaps think being a Christian is very complicated and lots of rules, but what we actually find is the opposite. That actually there are very few direct commands that the Lord Jesus gives us. And our Father, we just pray that we might be those that listen and respond to the words of the Lord Jesus. Father, we know it's vitally important that we repent and believe. And our Father, we've just read that the Lord Jesus Christ then puts belief and baptism right next to each other. So our Father, help us to think in our own lives about whether we've taken that step, first of belief, secondly of baptism, and thirdly, whether the evidence of our new life is visible to those around us. Father, help us with these very practical things, we pray. And we ask that the scriptures might just be useful to us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen.